Good morning. You want to just keep singing that again and again and again. How beautiful of a song to express what is actual reality. I don't need it, you know, just once. I need it again and again and again. Over and over again. Thank you very much for being present today. You made it here this morning. And welcome to our brand new welcome and greeting team this morning. Were you greeted when you came in this morning? How cool is that? God works. And last week we just mentioned the opportunity. Six people signed up just like that. That's God stuff. And I give him all the credit. And this morning I want to go a little further into the exact same stuff, but in a different take. You made it here this morning. You are here this morning. I'm here. We're present. We want God present, and we ask him to be here, but sometimes we, once he gets here, once he's here, we check out. And this morning, we're looking at this thing called a glitch, letting our weaknesses be where we find our strength. These two scriptures are loaded. And this morning, as we dive in, and this morning, as we go a little deeper into what was just sung on this stage, I ask that you take it and do something with it this morning. Will you do that? Do something with it this morning. Don't just let these scriptures bounce off the atmosphere of your heart. Let it sink in. Let it go in. Let it burn inside you and do something with it. Amen? I'm asking. It certainly has been under opposition all week long. This topic, even coming up with the title of this, has been under opposition, which tells me something big is going to happen this morning. Matt, your event tonight, hey, that was some serious rappage, by the way. And I don't know where Reed went, but yeah, he just laid down. You just knocked it out of the park. It's going to be a great event, right? Jen's working hard with programming. She had a great event just a night or so ago. There's some really great events going on. And it's always opposed, isn't it? There's always something that just says, you'll never make this work. This will never get off the ground. I'm just using a few of these folks, but you know when you come up with something or you're inspired about something, there's always that opposition that's there. We're going to dive into that this morning. Father, once again in prayer, I ask for nothing more than your spirit to guide where it needs to go today. All foul spirits of any type, anything that's oppressive, be banned and gone in the name of Jesus. Just out of here. Gone. I thank you for the things that are good. A brand new welcome and greeting team on fire this morning for you. A band that can sing as one after a lot of practice and hard work. They get to celebrate together. I thank you for an inspirational word from you, completely from you. May it not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 10, 7 through 12. That's a great picture up there. I love that picture. Take a look. And I know you felt this way, at least when people sometimes look at you funny. Let this sink in, okay? You're judging by appearances, Paul says. If anyone is confident that they belong to Christ, they should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as they do. You feeling this? All right? You're in the huddle right now. Hey, we deserve this win as much as anybody does. Paul is right there in the huddle with you, right there, all right? He just warmed you up. He's sweating just like the other people. He's in the huddle with you, and he says this. So even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than tearing you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. Catch this, a little personal hurt from Paul here. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Paul the preacher getting hammered here by some opposition. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we're absent, we will be in our actions when we're present. We don't dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, right? pat on the back, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. The next letter he wrote is in chapter 12, verse 6 through 10. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think of me that is warranted by what I do or say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, pompous, prideful, right? I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. This guy had to live with this stuff. Three times I pleaded with the Lord, please take it from me, please. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power made perfect in your what? Yeah, you tracking with me? That's a t-shirt right there, guys. The world needs to hear that. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. Literally, you heard it. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in difficulties. For when I am weak, what? Then I'm strong. Wow. Leonard Cohen says, there is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Can somebody give God their praise this morning for all the glory? Give him all the glory. Give him everything. All right? Every one of you, when you walked in, and thank you to our welcome and greeting team again, you set the tone for this. I see a different tone on people's faces today, a different look. There's beauty in this room. There may be some confusion in your heart, but you made it here this morning. I want to hang out with you this morning. We're going to go to another place through these scriptures. Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? Okay? All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to be here. Don't sit alone. Sit with somebody. Yeah. It's good to be here. Everything that you need is in the presence of God. Everything that you need is in his presence. 2 Corinthians 10, 7 through 12. We just nailed this. Paul has some strong words to challenge us. Words of direction. Words of instruction. And great wisdom to those, like myself, who feel very unqualified. We'll consult him today to answer this question. What do I feel that I do not have what it takes? What is making me feel this way? This is such a fundamental question, and it's not just men who look for that question to get an answer. Why do I feel this way? Do I have what it takes? Day after day, many people hear the phrase, you don't have what it takes. You don't. Okay? Paul was still dealing with this issue late into his ministry. Late! After all the stuff he's gone through. All the affirmation that he's gone through, still dealing with this question. You can't out-accomplish this question. My friends, you can't do it. Do I have what it takes? You cannot out-accumulate this question. You can't be a pauper or a prince. You can't outrun the question, do I have what it takes? You could be raising your third child, still asking the question as a parent, do I have what it takes? You could be married. You could be single. You could have been married. You may be approaching that thought, still asking the question. You could be pretty. You could be challenged in your appearance, whatever it is. Where one says, I look good to me, but inside you can't escape the question, do I have what it takes? It is a universal deal, and it is floating around in this community as much as anywhere else. Can I do this? Students have it, and when they don't feel it, they bully each other. They go after somebody else. I don't think I have what it takes. My insecurity is going to be everybody else's issue, and they hammer on them. We're going to answer that today. However, we need an expert witness. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, 7 through 12, the glitch that keeps on giving today, so to speak. Here's a list of the movies that have made me cry, okay? You got movies that made you cry? All right, we're going to start with Sleepless in Seattle, my friends. All right. We're just going to go there. Top of the Empire State Building scene, right, where the little boy is just there and he goes back to get his teddy bear. You know the scene? Okay, I'll leave that alone. Guys are like, move on, Hobbs, move on. Yeah, I cried during that scene. Dances with Wolves, the closing scene. Shumari Tutanka Owachi, right? Wind in his hair is yelling from the top of the cliff as Dances with Wolves and his spouse are heading out. I think it was Stands with a Fist, right? And they're headed out to go tell the world that the Indian population is under assault and we need to reconsider our relationship with Native Americans. And I was bawling my eyes out. The credits are running. I'm like, ah. Okay, anyway. Sound of Music. The nun singing Climb Every Mountain to Maria, a very confused Maria, fighting back love that she has for Captain Von Trapp. Anyone in that scene? Anyone? Climb every... Okay, fine. The movie Cinderella Man. Ron Howard film came out, Cinderella Man. Jim Braddock says, this time I know what I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for milk, right? And going up against the most fierce opponent, this is one of the greatest comebacks in history, driven by love for his family. He does the impossible dream, and it comes true, and he knocks this guy flat after literally being beat to a pulp. Cinderella Man, anyone? Okay, anyone? Oh, yeah, one of us? Great, okay. I'm going to land here. I don't have to say very much. You've Got Mail. Don't cry, shop girl. Don't cry. Brinkley! Right, remember? Joe Fox is actually in love with the lady he put out of business from Shop Around the Corner. Yeah. There's things that have me tear-jerking. This Thursday night, some great prophecy stuff at Singing Waters. And I heard some incredible stuff that was spoken over my spouse and her life and her life with mine. I lost it. It can happen anytime. I can start crying right now, right? I'm passionate about a lot of things, and the Lord knows what those are. And, man, these little things come in. Oh. Wreck-It Ralph. A couple years ago, I forced myself to go see this movie. It was at the casino, back when we had movies, and it was kids wanted to do something, so we went. And I was like, oh, you know, cartoon movie. You know, I'm into Braveheart. What's up with Wreck-It Ralph? And yet, if you have not seen this movie, this is what you need to do for your devotions this week. Okay, just letting you know. You need to see this movie. In particular, Vanellope von Schweetz, character in the video game. She has a glitch due to a programming escape. And I jumped right in this. She will not be able to compete with the other racers the same way. She's glitching. In the video game, she constantly glitches. And Wreck-It Ralph jumps in the scene. And you know, you've been around people that are high maintenance. You've been around people that have these self-worth experiences that are low. The only people that will accept your lack of glitchiness or your non-glitchiness are those people that never get close enough to see your brokenness. And Wreck-It Ralph is annoyed by this little Vanellope, but he has to be close in her life. They're on this adventure together. And for all the Vanellopes in this world that feel trapped in a marriage, in a work situation, as a new parent, a family situation, and they're trapped by their glitchiness, God has a way out for you, but it's going to be through the cracks. It's going to be different. So we're talking about the subject of how God uses broken people to do big things. And you may have heard this before from the pulpit here many times, including myself, but I have a different take on this morning. The more you know yourself, the more it's easier to disqualify yourself. And you want to be used by God. You want to be used in big ways. Perhaps if you stop polishing your halo long enough, you'll see that it's the broke places where God creates the best opportunities. Amen? He goes into these broken places to minister to you and for you to minister to others. It just drops the pride. You often hear about all of these great Bible characters that God's used despite of their dysfunction. I've made lists like this before in past sermons, but I discovered some newbies here. Right? Noah was drunk. Abraham, too old. Isaac, a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah, not very good looking, the Bible tells us. Joseph, abused. Moses, Moses had a stump. Gideon was afraid and hid in a wine press. Gideon, interesting. Samson had long hair, because you know God can't use someone if they have tattoos and long hair, right? Okay. Rahab, prostitute. Jeremiah, Timothy, too young. Peter denied Christ. Job went bankrupt. Elijah got suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I'm not going to try this, okay? The disciples fell asleep while they were praying. That doesn't happen on Sunday morning. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. I can go on and on. That's a new list I put together from another sermon where I had a whole other list. Are you grateful for how God blesses broken people? But how? And this is where we sit. And this is where we'll sit all week long. How does he do this? This oversimplification of this matter drives me nuts. It's disturbing, actually. It'll keep you awake at night to the point where it does not help people at all. You may have an addiction. You might be insecure. You might be short, too fat, too tall, whatever it is, broke. But God can still use you. So what are we going to do with this information? This invisible bridge of understanding where we see God say, I can do this, but we're not shown how. The fact of the matter is that God might love me. God might choose me. And understanding that God is going to use me is different than God might choose me. And for God to use my life in great ways requires an understanding that he can, but also how he will. We need to know how. We need to be shown how. So we need to learn how God uses broken people to use great things. He does these things. How does he do it? Who better to show us than Paul? Can we all agree Paul was gifted? Oh man, off the charts. Now we need to learn how God uses broken people to do these great things. How did he use Paul? He was not the bottom of the barrel draft pick in any way. In fact, he was a mentor of Gamaliel, a top leader of the Jewish Sanhedrin. Paul was well-trained, well-versed, brilliant theological mind. I don't need to say much more. Debated with the best. And Paul was so profound in his concepts that they continue to reverberate centuries later throughout the landscape of this church and all across America right now. Somebody's talking about Paul. Somebody's reading about Paul. Somebody's quoting Paul. To this very day, he was an all-star. But he was the kind of guy that you would literally want beside you. He would defend you in a courtroom, man. He's the guy you want, okay? He's the kind of guy you want to explain the birds and the bees to you, where he's able to break down the concepts. You can understand things in a fresh and understanding way. He went on to do great things because he was gifted. Preached in Europe, North Africa, parts of Asia. In fact, he was so gifted, he took the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. And he took Barnabas with him. What an adventure. Did great things for God. Left a big wake in his path. It was huge. We should be surprised when we read about some of these little things that go on when he needs to defend his qualifications and his credentials. It's unbelievable that he still had to do that, but he did. It never got old. After all the places he'd been, he still had to defend himself in his next town that he went to. 2 Corinthians 10, seeing beneath the surface, at some point, we probably eventually feel the sensation of arrival and that question, do I have what it takes? Will it be answered by one's accomplishments? Yet in the midst of achieving all this stuff, literally, all these things, there were still those in the midst that didn't give a crap about how much he knew, and they were willing to strip him of his credentials, every one of them. Paul not only assumed a position of humility, but he took a bold stand in the midst of all of that stuff. That's why we celebrate this guy and what he was up to. And the Jesus that he stood for. That's why we go after this. Because the concept of being stripped of your credentials and all of that hard work and all the things that you've come across. That sound familiar? Anybody in this room, does it sound familiar? Have you gone through that? Being humble does not mean that people can reduce you to a smaller size. That what God created you to turn out to be. This is timidity, not humility. And he wrote a great for Paul and Timothy tell us, God did not give us the spirit of what? Yeah. Timidity, but the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The spirit of fear. He didn't give us that. Sometimes you have to stand up for what he's called you to do. Some of us are susceptible to believing whatever came their way. And in Corinth, at the time of Paul, these were called super apostles. Little campaign to minimize Paul's accomplishments. I read this stuff and it kind of made me sick. Still happens today. We've evolved a species where we never fight over doctrine and no longer resort to measures like name-calling at any level, right? We don't do that, right? No. Still happens to this day. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul's forced to address these attacks. He has to. He's forced to. These people are saying stuff and it's painful. He has an important message here, and when you look at it, it's beneath the surface. Paul says, you're judging on appearances. You're judging on appearances. Where one's true impression is not always the true insight of others or yourself. This is critical. Be careful basing everything you feel about somebody on first impressions. My dad told me that a long time ago when he taught me to play golf, right? A bad day at golf doesn't mean golf sucks. He was just like, hey, there's never a bad day when you're out here playing this. And he said, you know, you'll come back. There'll be that one shot that brings you back next week, that sort of thing. First impressions can be dangerous. Think about the term buying impressions on Facebook. Paul wants you to understand that if your life is only viewed by first impressions, you'll never fulfill what's ultimately your destiny, where he wants you to go. We spent too many years making wrong friends who make wrong estimations because you're judged by things and first impressions. Impressions can be deceptive. Amen? They can be deceptive. To get to know someone really versus what you see on the outside. I wanted to do this. I don't have a better name for it than the estimation game, but I would love to come up with a wad of cash this morning. I don't have it, or I would do it, okay? But it has just some ones on the outside of it, but inside of it may be other bills of high value inside there. And just walk up to someone and say, I dare you to guess this. If you get it right, it's yours, right? And, you know, it's just like guessing marbles in a jar type thing. How many of you would go nuts over looking at that and just pick a number versus look at the initial bills on the outside being a couple of $1 bills and think that it's around 10 bucks? But inside could be hundreds and hundreds of dollars, several $100 bills that are inside there. Looking beneath it, your life, your purpose, your value. You attempt to see what God can do through you, what's deeper inside of you than on the surface. Paul and God both say this, and get out something to write with and write this on your outline this morning. If you're going to do it, you're going to have to look beneath the surface. Look beneath it. There's more to you than what one sees. There's more to you than what has been done up to this point. Amen? Mistakes in the past, there's more to you. And we're going to get into what God can do with those. But they're trying to estimate Paul on the surface level. I hate this. And it happens. We tend to give ourselves all kinds of labels and create all kinds of impressions. However, beneath the surface, there's brokenness, there's cracked parts. And Paul does something interesting. He invites them. He invites them to see beneath the surface. Come check it out. Because there's strength under here. It may be broken, but there's strength. And he invites them to do this so they can witness real power. The real power that comes from the inside. It's not going to come from tucking it in or sucking it in or painting it or buying it. It's going to come when you discover some things deeper inside you. And you go through the fire, as they say. It's beneath the surface. Surface impressions will never lead to greatness. They won't. I talk to too many employers around here and some very close friends in this room that say, man, when I interviewed this person, that interview was incredible. They nailed it. And about 3 months later, I'm like, what the heck did I end up with here? They nailed their interview, but that surface level stuff was not who they were. And now you've had to find out the hard way. It's painful. The story of the spies that went to Canaan. Remember those guys? Right? We got this, man. Remember the couple of guys? Hey, we got this. We can do this. They were, you know, on fire. And then there was a whole crew that were just spooked by their first impressions. There's giants in the land. We'll never take this. They only saw what was on the surface. In order to discover what is in it, you have to get in it. Praise God for those two that were mentioned in Scripture. We can do this. We can take this land. Let's go. God did not want the Hebrew people to explore the land based on first impressions. God wanted them to inhabit the land. Say this. I'm in it now. I will look beyond the surface level. I'm in it now. I will look beyond the surface level. Consider yourself a spy. You're in there. What do you see? I'm not going to live on the surface any longer. I'm not going to even let my own opinion become my final answer. I want to enter a new season where God shows me who I really am. I'm not bound by a level. I'm not bound by some label. I will not limit and be limited by my own ideas. I'm not. Paul says, stop judging it by what you see on the surface level. The comedian, Kevin Hart. You guys seen this guy? He's in Jumanji and some others that just came out not too long ago. Kevin Hart's mom. He was in some trouble. Got himself in some trouble, and I don't need to go there. But Kevin Hart, very funny comedian, literally needed money. And he asked his mom for money. And she sent him a Bible and said, read this. And then one day she said, hey, have you been reading your Bible? Because he asked her more money. She said, have you been reading your Bible? And, you know, he was just kind of breezing by. The whole inside in various chapters were checks that he needed to pay for all of his troubles that he was going through. If he'd read the Bible, he'd have found the checks that were inside the Bible. He blew it. Every day, all you need to do is look beneath the surface. If you feel that you're unqualified, if you feel that you're unworthy, if you feel that you're unlikely, it's all right. What is in you is not on the surface. What God put in you is good enough. We belong to Jesus as much as they do. Paul says that. I love how he starts. You belong to Jesus as much as someone else says that they do. I love that. We belong to him. He's yours. I want to announce that there are no qualified candidates for the kingdom of God. Quite often, churchgoers frequently point out that you can only belong once you become. This was the teaching of the Jewish leaders back in that time of Christ, and this is not the gospel. This is not the gospel. This is not a country club. Okay? There are so many churches looking like country clubs, by the way. They exclude people on the basis of behavior. It's a wonder that the government keeps their tax-exempt status. Makes me sick. This church is not a club. It's a hospital. You don't have to know someone to get in. Come on in. Come on in hurt. Come on in broken. Come on in limping. Come on in lonely. So it's better to teach that we become after we belong. This is the gospel in its very simple, purest form. It's a sequence. We don't become in order to belong. We belong in order to become. True confidence isn't this surface level swag, not arrogance of earthly ambition, not being loud to drown out the fact that you're hurting inside. True confidence is a product of belonging. It's a byproduct of that. Write that in. That's where your confidence comes from. That's how I'm able to stand on this stage I've had to go through stuff. Still do. Paul said, I know there are those who would strip me of my credentials, but because I belong, there's nothing they can say. Bring it. There's nothing they can do. Try it. There's nothing they can threaten. You've got to come to a point where you're not the spies of Moses' time, where they never believed that they belonged. Say this. You belong here. You belong here. And you belong in this land.
Yeah.
It's good. You have to wake up every day knowing that the same blood that saved Billy Graham, that empowered Peter to preach in Acts, Pentecost, allowed Paul to preach the gospel of Christ. My friends, it's the same blood that's available to you this morning. When you believe that you belong, there's nobody that can keep you out of the places that God's provided. God's included you. The good news, and hopefully you're awake and you're hearing me this morning, He has adopted you. You were made. You were born for this. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to move in power. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to move by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to understand that we are unqualified. If you've ever felt unqualified, welcome to the club. If you've ever felt unqualified, let's go ahead and get it out of the way right now. When has your resume ever had anything to do with it? When? When has God ever needed you to be something so that God is able to reveal the fullness of who He is? Turn to your neighbor and say, join the unqualified club. Dysfunctional? Screwed up? Don't have it together? But I'm on my way somewhere where I'm not where I was. And I'm not yet where I want to be. Join the club. The club where we're glorified in the process of being sanctified. Let me tell you something. Your weakness is your secret weapon. Your weakness is your secret weapon. It's heaven's secret weapon. Paul had a gift. It enabled him to touch his world. It elevated him literally, I mean this in all respect, literally legendary saint status, so to speak. Just being real. So it wasn't surprising to know that he had this opposition where he went, but it was very surprising to hear he had a glitch. Apparently, Paul doesn't make a good first impression with people. Major revelation in verse 10 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person, he's unimpressive and speaking amounts to nothing. Not a very good speaker. Unimpressive. Unworthy, unskilled. It's quite amazing for a preacher who's been so impactful for the past 20 centuries. Pretty amazing. We should not be surprised by that, since every time God chooses someone, He chooses somebody with a deficit. Every time. At some point, you have to awaken to the fact that some of your deficits literally are deficiencies by design. Can you even put your mind around that? And the message is not don't work hard and don't study, none of that, and only wait for God to make up the difference. Even Paul had a glitch. Okay. However, consider the great preacher of that day. His name was Apollos. Apollos. Paul could not preach as well as Apollos. So he picked up a pen and he wrote about 23% of the New Testament. He is second only to Luke, who wrote Luke and Acts, as the second greatest contributor to the Bible. This is interesting. If Paul was a better preacher, would he have written things down? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. A glitch that keeps on giving. Paul's glitch was the gift. Prove this to yourself. God is the God of your glitch too. You thought that when you became a Christian, your glitch would go away. Misunderstanding there. Your glitch is your gift. God wants to put your glitch to use where your deficiency becomes literally your destiny. 23% of the New Testament was written down by Paul, not preached. so to speak, and remembered. But what was written down was remembered. It was a thing that they would have asked God to take away in a lot of places. The glitch that fed their strength from their weakness. It was his gift, such a powerful revelation. And I found myself wondering if Paul had been a better speaker, would he have picked up his pen to write all these letters? I wonder if Paul could have preached like Apollos. Will we have 2 Corinthians? Will we have Romans? Will we have Ephesians 3:20, one of my favorite verses of all time? Now and then, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask for. Man, can you imagine if he just preached? Do you remember anything by Apollos? Was it written down anywhere? Okay. Interesting. He couldn't preach like Apollos. It was, and I got to be careful because I get choked up about this, all right? It's one of those things. Because I spent so much time feeling like my glitch was going to keep me from being used by God. But it was the glitch that became Paul's gift. Not a powerful speaker, but boy, did he write those letters. The words that you read today that Paul wrote may not have been on the page if he could have preached those things a lot better. It was because he couldn't preach like Apollos that he wrote like Paul. How many Bible verses have you memorized from some of the stuff that Paul has written? Go back in time. He could preach. Apollos could preach, and he was impressive. No doubt what he said was profound, but he said it, and it died. Paul couldn't preach like Apollos, so it forced him to sit down. He says, I got to take my glitch and find a way to turn it into a gift, and because he had a glitch, you got to get this in your heart, okay? Because he had a glitch, his words are still reverberating today. They're sung on stage. They're put in hymnals. They're quoted by missionaries all around the world. Take 5 seconds to praise God for your glitch and praise God for your weaknesses and praise God for your struggle right now. Take 5 seconds and do that. Might as well put your weakness to work because it's not going away. I'm not saying don't improve. I'm not saying stop gaining intelligence. I'm not saying don't take the class. I'm saying that there's a glitch in all of us. There's a multiple situation in many of us that's not good. A lot of glitches. And when Vanellope found out, here it is, okay? Wreck-It Ralph and Apostle Paul. I'm gonna tie it all together right here for you, okay, this morning. Here they come. Where they meet up is this. Vanellope is stuck in a game, and she can race, but guess what? The reason they unplugged this machine, you got to see the movie, okay? The reason they unplugged this machine is to turn her into a glitch in the very beginning, all right, was because she was royalty. She was royalty. I had no idea that this little Vanellope girl would be right there with Princess Jasmine and Cinderella and Snow White and Tangled Chick, whatever her name is, with long hair. I forgot. Rapunzel. Oh, yeah. This girl was a princess, and they unplugged the machine, called her a glitch. She crossed the finish line glitching. Watch this movie, man. I forgot who I was with. I was just, oh, my gosh. She crossed the finish line glitching. And when all of a sudden she crossed the finish line, boom, turned into this Cinderella-looking thing, and the town turned, and just like Beauty and the Beast, all this winter turned to warmth, and it was an amazing look. I love it. It was her glitch. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me this morning. You keep thinking that your glitch is getting in the way, and I'm trying to tell you, Paul's glitch became the gift. You're reading it today, and if you got a glitch, if you got a weakness, if you got a broken spot in your life, you bring it to him, and here's the deal, in humility and in sincerity, okay, your weakness is about to become your secret weapon. Your weakness is about to become your portal to God's power. Now, give him praise if you believe it this morning. Give him praise. Give him praise if you receive it this morning. Don't hold on to it. Let him know. Thank you, God, for this thorn in my flesh. Thank you for this stuff. It's not my power. This thorn in my flesh, I don't want it. I've asked you 3 times and you've kept it here. I'm going to go ahead I'm going to give it back to you. John, if you can come on up. There was a pastor. There's several very famous pastors. I'm going to leave their names out of this, but they're big names in the United States here that have done some really big works for God. And there was a guy who was very smart with money, a specific pastor. And when asked how this pastor became so smart with money and the assets of the church grew and the church grew in and of itself building-wise, and he said, it's because I was so broke in the very beginning. I had nothing. And I realized that my glitch became my gift. Learned how to save. The reason I empowered so many leaders, another pastor said, who was great at finding leaders and training leaders, is because he said, in the beginning years of pastoring, I didn't think I was a good leader. I thought I was a terrible leader. My glitch became my gift. Another pastor said, the reason I can preach and connect with people, and this church grew to be the largest in North America, is because I was convinced that I never could. In the very beginning, I was lousy at relationships. I just convinced myself of that. See, people who have a great gift often find that their great gift stunts their growth. But when you know you have a glitch, when you know that you have a deficiency, and when you begin to believe that my deficiency is connected to my destiny, that's how God uses broken people to do big things. That's where humility kicks in. That's where sincerity, and that's where you got the ear of your Creator listening to you. Please stand with me if you receive God's word today at any level and give Him praise. Give Him praise where you're standing, where you're sitting right now. Stand up if you've received God's word at any level. Hug at least three people right now. Hug them. Tell them your glitch is your gift. Your glitch is your gift. Don't stand there. Find somebody. If you need to hug, you go get one. Your glitch is your gift. Say that to somebody. Say that. Your glitch is your gift. Yeah. 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 Your glitch is your gift. My friends, if he could have preached it better, maybe he wouldn't have written it down. I wouldn't be able to preach it this morning if he hadn't have written it down. Sometimes what God leaves out is just as important as what he puts in. If Paul had spoken 2 Corinthians 12:10, we wouldn't be able to throw it up on the screen. But he wrote it down. They didn't have easy worship and Pro Tools and all these computer software programs. Now I'm just saying stuff. But because of his glitch, because of what he couldn't do, my friends, I would have loved to have been a better athlete that lasted longer. But maybe if I'd have lasted longer, I wouldn't have become a youth pastor. I know some of you would have loved to have had a dad that raised you. And you should have. But maybe your deficiency, maybe the fact that you did not have a great dad, is going to drive you to become one. I don't think it's coincidence that nerdy kids sometimes become the most successful in life, because since they don't have a whole lot of people around them in school, they have to get to know themselves and develop themselves. And so then in high school, what is loneliness later in life becomes success. The glitch that keeps on giving. You know that thing that didn't happen for you, that you prayed that it would happen and you felt like a failure, by the way, when it didn't happen? That thing you didn't get? The opportunity that you screwed up? Maybe you screwed it up. Maybe God didn't do it. But Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen? Yeah. Join hands with the person next to you. Connect with somebody this morning. Think God doesn't see your glitch. You think he's limited by it? You think the manufacturer doesn't know your defect? Of course he does. Of course he does. And he chose you anyway. Avalon Church, he chose us anyway. I know a lot of preaching says God's going to use you in spite of that. No, no. That's not my message. He's going to use you because of it. That's my message. It's going to be your weakness that feeds your strength. Let's pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over every glitchy person, let the broken places in their lives and the cracks in their heart that are about to become the spaces through which your glory most freely flows. We thank you that we're broken vessels. We thank you that what is broken is full of oil, and we can thank you that in our lives that you're not limited by our liabilities, but rather you specialize in turning weakness into strength. God, empower these people by your grace and power. Help these people to realize a great calling, and empower your sons and daughters with a kind of blessing, with a kind of anointing, with a kind of glory that can only enter through broken spaces. Give God the glory this morning, my friends. Give it all to him. He completes us. In Jesus' name, amen.